All right, I will say good evening. Let's begin. So we're going to do a beautiful piece here by the Rebbe. And you can see it's in Perek Yud Tes. It's on Pasuk Yud Zayin. So remember, again, this is by the section of Kabbalah Satorah. The centerpiece of Parshas Yisro is Kabbalah Satorah, Sinaitic Revelation. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, who wants to give it? Klal Yisrael says, no, Moshe will get it from you. But even before all of that, the Torah says something amazing. So if you look in Pasuk Yud Zayin on the top, Vayotze Moshe es ha'am likrasa Elokim min ha'machane. And Moshe Rabbeinu led the people out. It literally means he took the nation out to greet God min ha'machane. He took them out from the camp. Vayisyatzvu betachtis ha'har. And ultimately, again, they camped underneath the mountain. So, of course, the part of this pasuk that usually gets the greatest amount of attention is the last part of the pasuk, "Vayisyatzvu betachtis ha'har," which literally means they camped underneath the mountain. So remember, again, this is where Rashi quotes the famous Gemara Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara says, "What do you mean they camped under the mountain?" It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Lifted up the mountain, suspended it over their heads, and said to them, if you accept the Torah, good; if not, shamtei kvurasechem, you're going to be buried here." You're going to be buried here. So, of course, this gives rise to the whole discussion about why there was a need for compulsion if at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma. There was already an acceptance of Torah. Why the need for compulsion? So there are many different answers. I always find the simplest, or not the simplest, but the most straightforward, is the Maharal in Gur Aryeh. And the Maharal says, Na'aseh v'nishma is great. Na'aseh v'nishma is an answer of inspiration. We feel so inspired that, of course, we're going to serve you, Ribono Shel Olam. But, you know, the interesting part about inspiration is that it comes and goes. Sometimes you're inspired, sometimes you're not. If your whole Yiddishkeit is about inspiration, that's great if you're on fire. But the moment that the person feels a little bit differently is the moment that sometimes their commitment could go away. The compulsion is necessary. The compulsion is necessary for those times that you don't feel so inspired, for those times that you don't feel so on fire, for those times that you don't feel so passionate. But so we know about this because this is true in every area of life. There are some days that a person might say, I love my job, right? And so I can't wait to get in. And there are other days that a person, thank you, that a person doesn't like their job so much, but yet, again, I understand that there's a sense of commitment. There are days when my relationships are wonderful, thank you, and days when my relationships are not so wonderful, but even on days when it's not so wonderful, there's an element of commitment. But Rabbi Nachman actually draws the attention to the first part of this pasuk, and he says something beautiful. So take a look on the bottom. Vayotze Moshe es ha'am likras ha'elokim. So listen to this. Me'inyon kitzas anoshim shemiskarvin la'avodas Hashem yisbarach va'acharkach misrachakin. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, you know, we'll say, the nature of the human condition. If I were to ask you, you know, what do we struggle with most? What would you say? What do most people struggle with most? What would you say? On a general level. I don't mean a particular Avera. In a general sense, what do most of us struggle with most? I think. Consistency. Right? Consistency is the greatest struggle. And it's usually consistency in all areas. So I might struggle with consistency in how I behave in my marriage. I might struggle with consistency with how I behave with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I might struggle with my consistency in my performance in the workplace. Whatever it is, it's hard. Most of us have peaks and valleys. Most of us have times that we're on and times that we're off. Consistency is the hardest part of successful living. So he says, Me'inyan. The Rebbe says, you know, there's a concept of kitzas anoshin. There's a struggle that some people have. So really, I think most people. Shemiskarvim la'avodas Hashem yizbarach va'achar kach misrachakin. Sometimes, again, I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch when I do what He asks of me. And sometimes I'm distant. So there's a struggle that I'm just not consistent. Sometimes I'm on, I'm close, and sometimes I'm far. So we'll say, so the shaila is, so what's the status of such a person's avoda like that? In other words, let's say I admit the fact that I can't maintain consistency. I admit the fact that I'm not always on. So sometimes I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes I'm adhering, sometimes I'm listening, sometimes I'm respecting, and sometimes I'm not. So, like, where am I holding in life? So, and I will say this is such a beautiful piece. Ana, afa pikin, yakar eitzel Hashem yisbarach, hiskarvus ba'atzmo, af lefi sha'a. The Rebbe says something amazing. The Rebbe says that in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with anything I have to give Him. Even if I only serve Him for a little bit of time. And even if for some reason I'm unable to maintain an ongoing consistency. Even if all I give him is a sha'a. Now sha'a doesn't just have to mean an hour. Sha'a just means some smaller amount of time. Even if that's the extent of my commitment, the Ribono Shel Olam says, thank you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appreciative of that hiskarvus, of that closeness, even for just a little bit. Afal pi she'achar kach, na'aseh ma'aseh na'aseh chas v'shalom. Say Hidrev is Lashon, even though after that Shah Viskarvus, that moment or that hour or that day or that week of closeness, so the Rebbe says, even though afterwards, what's going to happen? Na'aseh ma'aseh na'aseh. We'll say, what does na'aseh ma'aseh na'aseh mean? Whatever happens is going to happen, which we'll say is a euphemistic way of saying, I'm going to get myself into trouble. So we'll say, this is part of the beauty of Hasidus. Really what we're touching on over here is one of the cornerstones of Hasidic thought, and really the cornerstone of the Baal Shem Tov's ideology, which is, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't demand perfection. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for is effort. And even if that effort is not consistent, and even if that effort is not continuous, and even if you can't maintain the strength of your Avodas Hashem at all times, the Ribono Shel Olam appreciates whatever it is that I give him. He appreciates the iskarvus, the closeness, even if it's only lefi sha'a. See, we'll say so many times, we think in our Avodas Hashem, it's like it's all or nothing. Either I'm in or I'm not in. I'm committed or I'm not committed. And we'll say the truth is, to be honest, even the things that we're committed to in life, most of us have difficulty maintaining ongoing and consistent commitment to anything. If you think about this in an incredible way, I will say, think about this in relationships. If I'm in a relationship, but it doesn't, whatever kind of relationship it is, I make a commitment to be nice to someone. Is there anyone who's always nice to the people in their lives? I don't know, maybe there are some tzaddikim like that. I think most of us, again, have days when we're nice and days when we're not so nice. Most of us have days when we're on, days when we're off. So the Ribono Shel Olam says, it's okay, I get it. I created you, I made you. So I'm happy if you come to me, if you are close to me, if you're connected to me, even just for a little bit of time. And even though afterwards, na'aseh, ma'aseh, na'aseh. The Ribono Shel Olam says, I love the fact that you made the effort, that you did what you could when you were able to. He goes on, Va'amar, halo al shas matan Torah ne'amar. Well, so listen to this. Livavtani ba'achos me'einayich. So listen to this. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Livavtani ba'achos me'einayich, almost like literally means, you winked at me, or you blinked at me, with one of your eyes. Now, Livavtani is from Lashon Levav, meaning you gave me a heartfelt look with one of your eyes. I will say, what a strange statement. Now, we understand you can give someone a loving glance, but generally when you're giving someone a loving glance, you're giving it with what? With both eyes. Right? Otherwise, you have some, usually it's because if you have some type of eye issue otherwise. In Bepashtos, you give somebody a loving gaze, it's with both eyes. What does it mean? The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, you looked at me with a loving eye. What's the pshat? Listen to this. V'isa b'medrash, what's the left-hand column? Mahu ba'achas me'inayich. What does it mean with one of the eyes? Listen to this. Ella, this is wild. So first of all, the medrash understands that this is a reference to Matan Torah. When we were standing at Har Sinai, this is the Ribon Shalom speaking to Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, when you stood at Har Sinai, you looked at me lovingly with one eye. So says the medrash, if they're only looking at Kadosh Baruch Hu with one eye, then what? Then what? What's going on with the other eye? Get ready for this. This is wild. Ma'u ba'achas me'inayich, ela sheba'ayin hashenis, kvar hayu mistaklin al ha'egel. Wow. The second eye was already on the golden calf. The second eye was already on the golden calf. It was already elsewhere. The second eye was wandering. Right? Isn't that a community person have a wandering eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So the second eye was already wandering, right? So who says, I saw it. I saw it at Har Sinai. I will say, like, a man is with his wife, and he makes the mistake, looking at another woman, how does that make his wife feel? I mean, besides the fact that it's usher. But leaving that aside, how does it make the person that you're with feel? Of course, like nothing. The Ribono Shel Olam says, I was with you at Har Sinai. And I saw you looked at me so lovingly with one eye, but the other eye was already on the golden calf.
The other eye was already somewhere else. Ella, Shavayin Hashenis Kevar Hayu Mistakon Eikav. I will say, here's the amazing part. The fact that we had one eye on the eagle, that's not so surprising. That's the nature of man. Consistency and commitment is difficult. So I will say, you know, what's our greatest problem with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The greatest challenge you have, I will say. See, people think the greatest challenge is taiva, it's desire, it's sin. The greatest challenge is we have commitment issues, right? You know what I say to God? I say, Ribono Shel Olam, listen, here's the deal. I love you. I love you. And I think you're great. But to be honest, I'm not ready to settle down. I think we should see other people. I love you. Don't get me wrong. You're the best. It's not you. It's me. Right? I think we should just see other people. Well, see, the issues you have in life are commitment issues. And the reason you have those commitment issues is because deep down there's a fear. What's the great fear of commitment? So the fear of commitment stems from... When people have a fear of commitment, it's for good reason. Because deep down, I know that I can't maintain 100% commitment to anything. I'm a human being, and I'm frail, and I have weaknesses, and by definition, I have peaks and valleys. So when people have a fear of commitment, it's because deep down they know, I want to take this on, I want to honor this commitment, but I just don't think I'm going to be 100%. And you know what? They're 1,000% correct that they're not going to be 100%, because Zoe Darko Shalotam, that's the nature of man, that's the nature of the human condition. So Ibn Shalom says, it was so beautiful seeing you at Har Sinai, and you looked at me so lovingly with that one-eyed gaze, but the other eye was already eyeing the golden calf. The other eye was already looking at someone else. The other eye was so... But you hear what the Ibn Shalom says. You know what the Ibn Shalom says? But thank you for at least giving me one eye. Thank you for at least looking lovingly at me with one eye. Because at the end of the day, you could have had both eyes on the golden calf. But at least you gave me one eye. All right, and you gave the other eye to the eagle. And Lord says to the Rebbe, what do we see from here? That the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't expect perfection. And the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't even expect us to maintain ongoing and consistent commitment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as long as you try, I'm just so appreciative for whatever it is that you give me. As long as you put in the effort, I'm so happy with whatever it is that you give me. He goes on, Nimtza Shebishas Matan Torah, Kvar Haya Daitam Lifrosh Chas V'Shalom. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here already that at the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael was already thinking about going on a different path, which I will say makes sense. You know why they were thinking about this? Because at the end of the day, they were scared. Right? Meaning, when Klal Yisrael stood underneath that mountain, they said Nasal Nishma. Now, with those two words, they inherited and hired destiny. They have buyer. There's a shtickle buyer's remorse. Like, what did we get ourselves into? What did we get ourselves into? And so, by definition, they're beginning to look at other things. And we're going to say, well, what did the eagle represent? You know, Rav Shem Shlomo Far Hirsch has a beautiful idea. He says, you know, you think the Jews believed in a golden calf? You think the Jews believed in that? He says, generally, what's the chilek? What's the distinction between idolatry and between belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Idolatry in Avodas Hashem is that when a person is a Jew, a person has Torah. So my mandate is I have to make myself in God's image. I know what God is. God describes what He is and He tells me I have to emulate Him. What's idolatry? Idolatry is I make God in my image. See, the way idolatry starts is I know here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. Right? I want to do A, B, C, D, and E. But I also want to live within the confines of the law. I don't want to be outside of law. So what do? It's very convenient. You build the law around what you want. So establish the parameters of what you want to do, and then construct your theology around that. That's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is utilitarian theology. Avodah Zarah is saying, of course I believe in a higher power, but I can't make myself in that higher power's image. I need to make that higher power into my own image. So Klal Yisrael is standing here at Matan Torah, and they're getting all of these mitzvos, and there's the lightning, and the thunder, and the voice, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and 10 commandments, and 613 mitzvos, and Klal Yisrael says, you know what? We're not going to be consistent. We're not going to be consistently committed. So what happens? They get scared. And because they get scared, what do? There's only one eye on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, Libaftani Ba'achas Me'inayach. One eye looking so lovingly and beautifully at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other eye is already constructing a utilitarian theology that we call the golden calf. Is constructing again the egel, because I need an out. I'm so scared. I can't commit. And what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say? See, Rabbi Osai, if you were Hasidically challenged, so you would say, God's going to get angry. How can you only give me one eye? But if we're Hasidim of the Baal Shem Tov, which we all are, so the Baal Shem says, thank you for giving me one eye. You could have given both eyes to the golden calf. You could have not gazed at me at all. You could have not given me a loving glance at all, but thank you for at least giving me one eye. Because I'll take it, the Kaddish Baruch Hu says. I'll take, when a person is in love with someone, so they're grateful for any level of attention you get from that person. The Ribono Shel Olam is smitten with us, right? He's in love with us. So of course he wants two eyes. Who doesn't want two eyes from someone who they love? But at the end of the day, he appreciates any gesture that he gets. He appreciated even the one eye at Har Sinai. He says, Nimsa, Shebishas Matan Torah, Haya Daitam Lifrosh Chas V'Shalom V'Afa Pikein, Haya Yakar Be'ene Hashem Yisparach Ma'od, Haya Skarvus V'Atzmo. See, Rabbi Osai, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't dwell on how we're deficient. He dwells instead on what we're doing. So he doesn't dwell on the eye that was on the golden calf. He instead dwells on the eye that was focused on him. Thank you for giving me that one eye. Kimo Shekasov, Libavtani Ba'achas Me'enayich. Thank you, Kosh Baruch Hu says, you at least glanced at me lovingly with one of your eyes. Kizeh Ba'atzmo Yakar Ma'od Be'enei Hashem Yisbarach. Because ultimately, again, this in and of itself was very precious and very special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, what's the pshat over here? So if you look back in the pasuk, how is this tied into the pasuk? So remember, if you look back at the pasuk, with this one, we'll finish it out. If you look back at the pasuk says, Vayotze Moshe Esa'am Likrasa Elokim Min HaMachaneh. So what happens? What was the goal over here? What was the script of Sinaitic revelation? The script was that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to take Klal Yisrael out to the mountain, and what was going to happen? And Klal Yisrael was going to have this incredible spiritual rendezvous, and God was going to speak to the people, and the people were going to speak to God. But what happened? It didn't happen that way. Instead, Klal Yisrael says, too much, you go get the Torah conveyed to us. So we'll say, that moment of Vayotze Moshe Asa'am Likras Elokim was supposed to be a prolonged moment, but it was relatively short-lived. So you'll say, what a failure. Moshe Rabbeinu takes them out to greet God, and that was supposed to be greeting God and communicating with God for all 10 commandments. It only lasted for 2. What a failed experience. But Rebbe says, no chas v'shalom. Because even a moment of that experience, even a moment of Vayotze Moshe Asa'am Likras Elokim, was such an elevated experience. Because says the Rebbe, the amazing part is, that the Ribono Shel Olam does not need perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even need consistency. Of course, does he want consistency? Of course he wants consistency. Everyone in a relationship wants consistency. But in the same way that if I want to have Shalom Bayis, I have to recognize my spouse isn't always going to be consistent. I want to have a friendship. I have to recognize my friends aren't always going to be consistent, not because they don't care, not because they don't love me, but because then they're human beings, and therefore, again, they have frailties, shortcomings, and faults. No one's perfect. Consistency is a function of perfection. And therefore, by definition, if I'm not perfect, then I can't be 1,000% consistent. But lest you think that the inability to be consistent therefore means that I have a failed relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam says no. Even if it can't be consistent, I'm so happy with whatever you give me. I'm so happy with the moments you give me. I'm so happy with the moments of Hiskarvos. And afterwards, even though it's going to be Na'aseh Masha, Na'aseh, whatever will happen, it's okay. Even if you just give me one eye, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even if the other eye is going to be Ma'amish HaNavolda Zara on the eagle, I'll take the eye. Even if it's just going to be one moment of Vayotze Moshe Es Ha'am Likras Elokim, should have been longer, but it was shorter, I'll take it and I'll love it. See, Rabbi said, this is the ultimate message of Chizuk, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because sometimes we say to ourselves, you know what? I feel like a hypocrite if I can't be consistent, right? So what? I don't daven every day. So today I'll daven, but what's the point of daven? I'm not going to daven tomorrow. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I said, the beautiful part is, it's not being a hypocrite. the Ribbono Shel Olam is happy to have whatever we give him. Of course, I want to be clear. Of course, does God want consistency? Of course, God wants consistency. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to make my relationship with him dependent on my ability to deliver in a consistent fashion. As long as I give him something, as long as I'm attentive in some way, as long as I give him at least the one eye, the Ribbono Shel Olam rejoices in those moments. And he accepts the fact that I will fail. He accepts the fact that I will fall. And he simply looks forward to the next moment together. All right, Tibosa. Incredible, no?
Shkaya, it's beautiful. It's great Shalom Bayis advice. One eye is fine.
One eye. One eye. Good, thank you. I did it.